My friends, in Jesus, grace and mercy and peace be to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to share, again, just a portion of the gospel reading with you this morning from Luke chapter 8, the healing of that demoniac. Jesus had crossed over into the land of the Gerasenes and encountered this man possessed of demons. And he asks him in verse 30, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion." For many demons had entered him, and they begged him, that is the demons, begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. This is the word of our God. Please be seated. So let's first of all set the scene. When Jesus crossed over the Sea of Galilee to the land of the Gerasenes, he was not just crossing a body of water, he was crossing cultural and religious barriers. The land of the Gerasenes is a land of the Gentiles, and no self-respecting Jewish rabbi would ever step foot in such land or lead his disciples to do so, unless there was a very good reason for doing so. But Jesus is not just any Jewish rabbi. He is a Jew who crosses those boundaries because he loves people, irrespective of those boundaries. And when he crossed this boundary into the land of the Gerasenes, he is immediately confronted by a man who is possessed. Or perhaps it would be more accurate to say this man was occupied. Because this is not just one or two demons at work. This is a legion of them. And a legion in those days was a Roman military unit of 6,000 soldiers. And not that we should conclude from that this man had precisely 6,000 demons who were occupying him, but the name legion definitely impresses upon us that there were a lot of demons involved in the possession of this man. And his is a tragic story. He has been cast out. He's alone. He's wandering among the tombs, which we heard in the Old Testament reading today is a place of God-forsakenness. He has lost all sense of decency. He is clearly a hazard to himself and to others. And yet, despite all of that, the ending could not be happier for him. Jesus heals him and sends that legion of demons to inhabit a herd of pigs, which seems especially appropriate since God's law stipulates that pigs are unclean animals. So even though the owner of that herd would have been upset, and wouldn't you be upset if you lost an entire herd of pigs that you kept? But any Jew who read this story would get a smirk on his face and would probably snicker over the twist of humor. How fitting that the demons should occupy pigs. And in response to this casting out of the demons, the people are just completely amazed. They come rushing in from the towns to see what had happened. And when they learn what has happened, they are not a little bit uncomfortable. But the man himself who had been healed is grateful and he wants to follow Jesus. But the Lord tells him, no, you go back home and you share with others all that God has done for you. Now, the part of this whole story that to me seems the saddest is the part when Jesus asks him his name. What I just read for you. "What is your name?" Jesus asks in verse 30. And he replies, "Legion." Now that is heartbreaking. This man has no identity left to him except for that to which he is captive. He is no longer Elijah or Isaac or Frank or John or whatever name his proud papa had given him. But now he is Legion. He has become defined by what assails him. He is labeled by what defiles him, by what robs him of joy and health, by what binds him and keeps him from that abundant life that is the birthright of every child of God. And that, I think, is the point where this story perhaps becomes our story. When we are defined by others, or perhaps even by ourselves, by our sins, and by our failings, and by our setbacks. I'm reminded of the lady in last week's gospel reading who anointed Jesus' feet with her tears and wiped his feet with her hair. In the home of Simon the Pharisee, that lady was not identified by any name of hers. She was identified by her sleazy life. She is a sinner. And you know what kind of sinner I mean. She is identified by what binds her. Identified and labeled by her demons, if you will. She is not Hannah or Elizabeth or Rachel or whatever her name may have been. She is a sinner. She is legion, because her sins are many. And were it not for Christ, we would be in that same boat, identified only by our demons and our sins and our failures. You are not Sam or Bill or Jim. You're not Jane or Christy or Megan. You are a drunkard. You are a thief and a liar. You are gay. You are an adulterer. You are a gossip. You are a slouch. You are a druggie. You are your demons. And we are all legion, because we all have a legion of sins and of demons that, if you will, that occupy us and that shape our lives and our thoughts and our words. And you put us all together, and before God, we must be no more attractive than a herd of Gerasim pigs. It's true. We are legion. We are all of those things and so much more. I am what occupies me. I am what binds me. I am what defiles me. I am my demons. Don't call me Steve. Just call me dolt and blockhead, because I hurt people who love me. Call me a fink and a rat, because I automatically assume the worst about somebody when I hear something, and then I pass that along. Call me a pervert, because I cannot for the life of me keep my thoughts sexually pure. Call me a charlatan and a liar, because I lie and I cheat and I steal when I think I can get away with it. We may as well be that man who wanders among the tombstones, naked before our God, defiled and dead in our trespasses, possessed by a legion of demons that we are powerless to defeat. Today we confess, I am legion. Now, when you confess that, don't expect me to stand up here and disagree with you. I won't. You notice that when we confess our sins, the pastor does not say, don't be so hard on yourself. At least you're not, you know, Omar Mateen. But when you confess your legion sins, the pastor returns to you the sign of the cross of Jesus. And he says words that create an even greater reality for you than your sins. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. And to those who believe on his name, he gives the power to become the children of God. So in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. And with those words, the heavy chains of the sins that bound us and defiled us and defined us just fall away. And the transformation takes place. Dolts and finks and rats and perverts and charlatans like me and like you become the forgiven children of God. And then you hear those words, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and you recall the day when you were baptized and when God called you, not by your legion sins and failures, but called you by your name. God says through his prophet Isaiah, I have called you by name. You are mine. I think that's the reason so many sinners were so powerfully attracted to Jesus, like that sinful woman last week. For so many years, Simon and all the other people in town had been calling that woman every name in the book. Harlot, hussy, tramp, everything but her name. And for who knows how long, the text does say a long time, this naked man had been wandering among these tombstones. And can you imagine the names he was called? Lunatic, demoniac, a psycho, a real basket case. And people forgot his name. And maybe you know what that feels like. When the world has pegged you because of your sins, you're a drunk, you're a failure, you're a skirt chaser, you're a hothead, you're a gossip, you're a troublemaker. And perhaps because there is some truth in those words, and you've heard them for so long, maybe you've even begun to think of yourself in those terms. I am my sins, I am my demons, I am legion. But Jesus sets us free from all of that by the power of his grace and by calling your name with a splash of baptismal water, by his invitation to the table, by the declaration of the forgiveness of sins. He has cast out our sins and he enters in to make us the children of God. And as St. John says, that is what we are. Children. As the pastor says in the absolution, he gives us the power to become the children of God. And that is what we are. When Jesus cast those demons out of that man, of course, throughout his ministry, and at that time, he had on his mind a time when he would go to Jerusalem and he would take care of sin and Satan and the demons once and for all, by giving himself into death on the cross and paying the price that we all deserve. He pays the penalty for our drunken, perverted, lying, gossiping, thieving, conniving, hot-headed, unloving, name-calling ways. And then in exchange for all of that, he gives us his righteousness and a place at his table forever. And we are free. Free from the penalty, but also free then to extend that grace that we have received to one another as we follow Jesus. And then to go out from this place and to tell everyone what he has done for us. And among other things, I think that that means that we owe it to each other and to our neighbor to look past the labels that we attach to each other. To look past those labels that color our opinions about each other and that affect the way we treat each other and think about each other and talk about each other, and to see behind those labels people with names, people whom God loves, people for whom Christ shed his atoning blood. People. In a comment section at the end of an article about this, I read online about this horrendous terrorist attack in Orlando, one person made this comment. Oh well, that's 50 fewer fags in the world. Do you see the dismissive kind of lovelessness that becomes possible when we label people by their legion sins instead of remembering their names? Those people in Orlando were loved by God. And if any of them perished in their sins, their opportunity for repentance and faith has been cut off, and that makes their death infinitely more tragic than the headlines will ever be able to capture. And that's why Jesus charges us, just like he did that healed demoniac, that wherever we are, let's declare to others how much God has done for us. Because when our name was legion and we were possessed of sin, He called our names, and He washed us clean. And He took away our sins and gave us an eternal inheritance, as we read in the epistle reading. And He restored to us dignity as the children of God. And that's exactly what He wants to do for your neighbor. No matter what label you or this world may have attached to him or her. Yes, sin must be named so that it may also be repented and confessed and forgiven. But let's speak that truth of sin not as derogatory labels that push people away, but let's speak that truth in love. Because God is love. And He loves people. And He desires all people, even those whose name is Legion, to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, which is only in Christ. He wants all people like you to be forever free of the chains and of the demons that bind them. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we marvel at the depth and the breadth and height of your mercy by which you would overlook, would call us by name and forgive us our sins. We pray, O Lord, that you would strengthen us as we go forth from this place to tell this world all that God has done for us so that you may be glorified and your kingdom extended. We pray, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen. Having heard God's word, we join to confess now our one faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day He rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
In our prayers this day, in addition to those petitions listed in the bulletin, we also pray today for Sherry Gertz, who had shoulder